If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We'll be going to several scripture tonight. Philippians chapter 4, then we're going to go to Psalms 37, and then we're going to go to Psalms 34. We'll be reading here in just a minute Philippians chapter 4 out of the King James Version Bible. I had several people ask me if I would re-preach the sermon that I preached at the West Coast Believers Convention on my night. And it's a good sermon, but you can get it off of Brother Copeland's people and stuff. But I just felt led the Lord to do something a little different, if that's okay. And it was amazing that Brother Phil was talking about this great God that's created so many wonderful things. And yet we sweat so much about our little lives. I don't know how many churches I've been in now in 31 years of full-time ministry. I think about 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe longer than that, I preached in a 1,000 different church. I'm preaching almost every day somewhere in a different place. And God has been good and gracious as far as scheduling concerned. I've always been amazed at how much need there's in the body of Christ. I mean, there's just a bunch of need. I don't think I've ever been to a church that didn't have need. And I thought, why are they having need? So I'm going to do a little preaching tonight, which is proclaiming, a little teaching tonight, which is explaining. I'll have to get them all mixed up. But when we get to the end, I think you'll understand it. And I was amazed being born. I was born in the roughest borough of New Orleans called Algiers, Louisiana, on the West Bank. And and my mother used to say, boy, I want you crossing that river, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that river is really, it's amazing how it separates New Orleans, West Bank, East Bank, things of that nature. And so we were christened and confirmed Catholic. That's just the way it was. And because we don't have counties. And we're the only state in the United States that don't have counties. We have parishes. And I really like the Catholic Church, and I have been, royally criticized for that. But the reason why I like them, because they're the only ones that came and preached to us. The Protestants wouldn't come. They just wouldn't come. I mean, this is years and years and years ago. And because Catholicism came to southern Louisiana, it became parishes, you know. The diocese, parishes, and then, of course, the government began to take over. And finally, the Protestants began to come. But at that time, you couldn't find a Baptist to save your soul or anybody else. Then finally, they began to come. And I love the philanthropy of the Catholic Church. Some of the things that they do is just amazing. Now, I'm not saying I agree with everything that doctrinally, but I'm just saying some of the things they do is just truly amazing. Now, I have preached, I'm probably maybe the only minister in the state of Louisiana that'll be asked by the Archdiocese of the Roman Catholic Church to preach in their churches. And I have preached in many of our Catholic churches and Jewish synagogues and then Baptists and Methodists, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel, Assemblies of God, Church of God of Christ, and Prophecy. So I can get black on you real quick. I know how to do that. Hey, Lord, Lord. Well, yeah, I can hoop too, son. I ain't as good as Creflo, but hey, I ain't the same color. But I'm getting close, Creflo. I'm getting close. One time I slept at Creflo's house in his bed. He said he would leave. He said, man, just use my... I just sat there. I said, Lord Jesus. And I went, ha, la, la. Hey. It was nice, man. Nice. And, so when we went to church, we went to mass. We were not given a Bible. We were given a missile. That's not a rocket. That's a book. Anybody here been Catholic at least once? Not too many people in Texas, you know, a few. And you got a rosary. So you can say the Our Father and you can say the Hail Marys. You know, so you can, you know, you try to, cause you got those things for penance and things of that nature. And we knew certain, prayers, and the priest would say something, and we would come back and say something. How many people know what I'm talking about? Going back and forth. And one of the greatest prayers I think ever penned is the Apostles' Creed. You want to read a phenomenal prayer, you read the Apostles' Creed. It is an amazing prayer. Well, you know, after I got born again, I remember this, that the people would say, God will meet your need, but not all of it. I mean, don't get crazy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you ain't going to meet all of it. When we became Protestant, you know, we start going into Protestant churches, people say, God will meet your need, but just don't expect much of it.
And then I began to realize this was caused so much need when this God who, like he said, he flung the stars in your hand. He measured it with a span. He weighed the waters and the land and just amazing. And they said, well, you know, you just can't expect all that. Well, what does the word of God say about that? Because we've been given so much preaching opinion instead of what Jesus has said. You see what I'm saying? So, and I preached this not long ago and I want to preach it again. The title of this sermon is What You Need. What do you need? Let's go to another level. What do you desire? Oh, you can't get your desires. That's greed. Could be growth. Uh-oh. And I'll deal with that when I get to that. Oh, that's got to be greed. Could be growth. And then getting to the God level, what do you want? Is it possible that we can get all our needs, all our desires, all our wants? Let's find out. I mean, you know, if God says it, then it must be. Whether you ever receive it or not, doesn't change. It's what he said. And yet I've never been to a church, and all these churches that I've preached in over the years, you know, not all, that's an all conclusive statement, but most of them would say, you know, you just can't expect God to do everything. Well, why can't you? I mean, well, why can't you? You see, if you're a true father, your children expect you to do everything. You want a good sermon you guys can preach on is on the prodigal son. You got to understand about this. You know, that man had two good sons. Both them boys were good sons, but they wasn't good brothers. Come on. You want to preach on something, look at it that way. They were good sons, buddy. Both of them. But they were not good brothers. And I used to be kind of prejudiced against the elder son. But now I found out, that boy worked hard for your daddy. You see, one thought he could live without his father, and the other one wanted his father to be a respectable person. And what he didn't know, the elder son was actually worth way more than the younger son, because he said, you got everything I got belonged to you. Everything. So they were good sons, but they were not good brothers. And there's a statement in the Bible, am I my brother's keeper? And you can find out that he wasn't a good brother, because even the elder son, your son came, your son, he didn't call him his brother. Come on. See, I realize whether I agree doctrinally with some people in the Christian faith, they are my brother. And am I my brother's keeper? Well, if that means what it says what it means, then I must be a blessing to them. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I don't struggle with denominational, non-denominational, or interdenominational. Now, they may be a strange brother, but they're still a brother. But God calls them sons. You see that? So both those boys were good sons, but they were not good brothers. See? And that was the problem at all times. Let me say it again. One thought he could live without the father, so he go do what he got to do. The other one thought, no, because I've served you, you have to be a respected person. You got to bless me more than bless him. And God's not a respected person. That's why he killed the fatted calf of the younger son. But that's another sermon. So, but I'm just saying, it will help you to understand that if we can all just come together in the unity of the faith, he didn't say the unity of doctrine. I mean, Baptists are going to believe once saved, always saved, whether you Pentecostals like it or not. You're going to believe in speaking in tongues. I don't get it whether they like it or not. But you can come on common ground, and his name is Jesus. It's like some people say, I'll never speak in tongues. I said, well, you never will, so don't worry about it. What are you concerned? Are you nervous that he might just jump on you by accident? Because you keep telling him, I never. Well, you must be, maybe you're getting close to it. It's like one man said, I don't believe in healing. I said, you hadn't got sick enough yet. You hadn't been told you only got a few months to live. You better get your house in order. Boy, and it's amazing how many people believe in healing all of a sudden. Look for people that they normally wouldn't talk to before. Are you at Philippians chapter 4 yet? What I love about the scripture more than anything else is God shows us great strengths of these people, but he also shows us their weaknesses. Because see, he makes them normal. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 says, now you Philippians know. Go ahead, man. You scared the black off of me right there, Lord Jesus. I forgot. I told you to remind me for them crazy people up there in that balcony. Oh, gee. Did y'all see me do that? Whoa. Boy, I tell you what, I thought I had to go to the bathroom. We'd have had a problem right here. Son, help me, Jesus. Did y'all know God makes golden camels? I love what Lindsay said. She said, how you know you wasn't there? I said, get down with your bad self, Lindsay. Yeah, how you know you wasn't there? Maybe I got a revelation. Glory to God. So we would get to heaven. We see some golden camels. We're going to go, she was right. There you go, girl. I like it. Go, girl. Go, girl.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He preached in a lot of churches. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, notice what he says. Not that I, because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, I ain't looking for your money. But what I'm telling you, if you bless this ministry, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, the Apostle Paul was a phenomenal individual, but he had a problem with money. His weakness was money. He was very nervous about it. Abraham had a problem, and once in a while he lied. He almost lost his wife over it. He couldn't believe they could have a baby, so the Lord didn't talk to him for 13 or 14 years. Till he's an old man. And all of a sudden God said, nah, I can talk to you because you can't argue with me no more because it's over. You see, so what I love about this, God showing not only the great strengths of these wonderful people in the scripture and holy canon, but they're also the weaknesses, which helps us to kind of see where we are. And Paul had a problem with money because every time somebody tried to bless him, he said, listen, I work with my own hands. I make tents. I take care of everything. And every time somebody gave him a nice offering, he said, look, get a bunch of people with me. I don't want nobody to think I'm stealing this money. So he struggled in some areas financially. But this is the only time in the Apostle Paul's called flesh life that he says this in the next verse, verse 18. He said, but I have all. My Lord Jesus, he come up there. And abound. That's even better. And I am full. Now, how did he get all? How did he abound? And how did he get full? Having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So when he learned to receive, he got all, he abound, and he got full. See, it's okay to be a receiver, but you should never be a taker. You can tell the difference immediately. If you're a taker and people take you, your seed won't function in a taker's hand, but it will function in a receiver's hand. So notice when he learned to receive without trying to make an excuse for it, God said he got full, he abounded, and he had all. That's the only time in all of his writings that you hear that. Then he tells them how wonderful it is. Then verse 19 is an amazing verse of scripture. Title of this message, what do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? He said, but my God. Now, notice he didn't say, hey, God, some God, the Christian God, the person I met on the Damascus Road. He said, my God. I don't want to let y'all know. My God. Personal. Mine. Not a God. You never know. No, my God shall supply all your need. Not some of it. All. According to his riches. I love that. In glory, not in Christ Jesus, but by Christ Jesus. Now, did you notice he didn't pray about that? He put God on notice without even praying about it because he knew God's nature. He had more than relationship. He had fellowship. And when they blessed him, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He didn't pray about it. He didn't ask God, should you do this? He said, let me just tell you what my God will do. My God shall supply all your need. Didn't even pray about it. Didn't put God on notice. Is that your will? See, when you understand God as your God, not a God, not a Baptist God or a Methodist God, my God. Oh, then you know their nature. I find that the longer you're married, you don't even have to talk to your wife. You just know you can communicate by just looking at each other. How many people know what I'm talking about? You can talk to each other just with a look. Because you know what's happening, because you know each other. Not just you know about each other, you begin to truly know each other. What do you need? Now write this down if you're taking notes. The emphasis is upon the word all, not a portion. See, the church world for centuries had preached God to give you a portion. Not even much of that, but he gave you some, but you're going to have to suffer so you can understand what it means to need. Why do we have need? We shouldn't have no need. None whatsoever at all if God is what he says he is. And then when someone blesses you, can you say without praying about it or asking, my God, mine, let me tell you what my God gonna do. He going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Are you prophesying? No, I'm just repeating what God said.
Amen.
See, the emphasis is on the word all, not a portion. You see, when I told the devil, if you ever touch any of my stuff, especially during Katrina, if you think you're going to only give me insurance money, you're living in a dream world, sucker. You're going to pay me 7 times and I'm going to get your furniture in your house at the same time. I said, I'm going to make you homeless. You understand what I'm saying? But, and he didn't touch any of my stuff because I'm just not interested in insurance money. You see what I'm saying? I serve a Jewish God. You're going to pay me. You are going to pay me. I deserve it. Oh, that's arrogance, cocky. No, no, that's the Bible. Let me tell all of you that just gave. Let me just tell you what God, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I ain't got to pray about it because I know what he'll do. But can you receive it? Can you receive it? That's the whole key. Oh, people say, yeah, no, no, you can receive a little bit. I'm talking about when God starts blowing big stuff at you. I mean big stuff. Yeah, everybody can receive a sandwich and a dinner. But when he starts putting the big stuff, because then here comes the persecution. Here comes the world going, I don't think you ought to have that. Well, yeah, I didn't ask nobody. You see what I'm saying? My God. Mine. So the emphasis is on the word all, not a portion. Yet the church world for centuries has preached the portion. You can get a portion of it. But he said all of it. You know, and the 3 planes that I've owned, and Brett Copeland helped me on that first plane so graciously because I didn't know nothing about planes. And I wanted to ask how much it cost, what it cost to run that thing. I had no idea. You know, when you jump from a car to a plane, that's a major difference. You understand? And that's a major difference. And I never forget what the Lord told me. He said, you will never have to worry about any expense on that plane whatsoever at all. And everyone I've ever had, people say, how much it costs to run it? I don't really know. Just the other day, I got an analysis. I said, help me. How much money I would save? What is it? I don't even know because, see, my God. My God. Some people get mad at me about that plane. I just fly over their house. Now, I'm not being cocky and arrogant. Man, I'm on a mission from God. Well, when you go to Australia, why don't you take Delta? Because MSNBC says. MSNBC says you need a good plane across the Pacific Ocean. Yes. What do you need? Well, the emphasis is not on the word portion, it's on the word all. So I expect God to meet all my need. About 2 or 3 years ago, I was preaching in a very large church. There was about, I think, 18,000 people there. And this brother, the pastor, was a very nice man. Maybe a little longer than 3 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. Make a long story short. He said, everybody have a need, stand to your feet. Well, you know, I was getting my Bible. I was about ready to receive the pulpit to minister the word. And so I'm getting my Bible and stuff like that. Like, and everybody stood up and he prayed and he said, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Jesse Plants. I came up. Well, at the close of the meeting, we went back to his office, had a little refreshment. He said, Brother Jesse, I hope I didn't embarrass you. I said, excuse me? He said, I asked everybody to stand up. They had a need and I noticed you didn't stand up because, you know, I noticed you was getting your Bible and everything. I said, no, I heard what you said. He said, everybody have a need, stand up. It's what you said, right? He said, yeah. I said, I don't have no needs. He looked at me and he knew you can tell when people think you're lying. Some of y'all think these stories I tell are lies. I can tell you go, well, just follow me. Just follow me. You'll see what will happen here. So I said, I heard what you said. You said everybody had needs, stand up. I don't have no needs. And he looked at me with like, he's lying. And then he said this, you know, I get your magazine. I said, well, that's wonderful. Now, at that time, I was believing God for that intercontinental jet many of you people gave to it. He said, well, Brother Jesse, aren't you believing for that intercontinental jet? I said, yeah. I said, 100%. He said, is that a need? I said, it certainly is, but it ain't my need.
That's right.
I said, don't give me God's needs. Uh-uh, that's God's need. Ain't mine. You ask whoever got need. That's me. That's God's need. You understand? That ain't mine. See, when you're trying to meet God's need, you never will. You're not big enough or good enough to meet God's needs, so don't take it on.
Because you're going to delay what you're believing for. You get in God's way, trying to be a blessing to you, and you just get in his way. I said, that's not my need. None of that. I've said it so many times. One time, I don't know if Brother Copeland remember this, he asked me, he said, what do you do when you get those big television bills? I said, that's easy. Jesus, you got mail. It's yours. It's in the millions of dollars. I mean, you got mail. That's not my need. She said, do you worry about it? No. Why? Because you don't have enough money. You know what I do? Go off. My reputation not on the line. I'm doing this because God told me to do this. You understand what I'm saying? Jesse, go home. I could do other things. You see what I'm saying? But you know what? I don't struggle. He says, I appreciate you. You don't get involved in my business concerning trying you. And I, God, in 31 years of full-time ministry, ladies and gentlemen, I have never had a financial deficit. Now people say, how do you do that? I don't get in God's business. I just say, excuse me, we need $5 million here. This is your bill. Now, if you don't want to get these kind of bills, then don't tell me to do this. Does that make any sense to anybody? See, when you start getting in God, you're going to mess up. Oh, Jesus. See, you're going to try. Oh, I got to raise this. Now, I'm not dumb. I understand that it has to be paid. But a lot of times I say, I'm going to tell you something, God. They wouldn't take your signature, but they took mine. I had to sign that contract for you. Do we need to talk about this anymore? That sounds arrogant and cocky. No. My God. Oh, Lord. We have great fun together. We enjoy each other. What do you need? So the emphasis on that scripture is upon the word all, not a portion. Now, watch this verse of scripture here. I could preach 3 hours on this next point. This scripture not only implies God's ability to meet your need, but his willingness to meet your need and his obligation to do so. Let me say it again. This scripture here, Philippians 4:19, is not only applies God's ability to do it because he can meet all you need, but his willingness to do it and his obligation to do it. He's willing to do it. He has the ability to do it and he's obligated to do it. He has to. He cannot change his word. He says, my covenant will I not break. Psalms 89:34. Nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. You can't alter what God says because God is his word. So he has the ability to do it, he has the willingness to do it, and he's under obligation to do it. People think you're cocky, arrogant, and pompous when you say that. No, that's what the word says. So when God tells me to do something, I said, you said you would meet all my need. He said, that's right. He said, yes, I got the ability. I got the willingness, and I'm under obligation to do so. When I took Kathy as my wife, when he said, do you take this woman, be your lawful wedded wife? I made a covenant relationship on a holy altar of God at Holy Rosary Catholic Church. Me and her with a bunch of witnesses said, woman, I will take care of you. I have done that. Why? First thing, I have the ability to do it. I have the willingness to do it and I'm obligated to do it. You see, that's why your wife, when you're not doing right, you a man. Are you a man? Didn't you say? And your children think exactly the same. But if you don't have the ability to receive, you can cause suffering on yourself. I'm not talking about taking. I'm talking about my Lord receiving so you can have all abound and be full. What do you need? Not a portion. Don't get excited if you get a portion because it's not all. You want to get to a point that need has, tell you the truth. It ain't got anything to do with need. I bought something for Catherine the other day. She said, I don't need this. I said, this ain't got anything to do with need, woman. The Bible said God give you all things to richly enjoy. That's what he said. This ain't got anything to do with need. Oh, that's got to be greed. Could be growth. I'll deal with that in a few minutes. See, most people don't know the difference between greed or growth. You see, so what do you need? He said, my God. He didn't even have to pray about it. So when I tell you what my God will do, when I tell people God will save you, man, I ain't blinking. I mean, not good English, but it makes good sense. When I say God's going to help you, he will do it if you'll believe it, if you can receive it. And how many times I've wanted to help, but people wouldn't receive. Because in their mind, they thought, or the devil made them think, they said that to get my attention so I could do that. Prime example, that was my daughter when they bought their first house. Me and Kathy wanted to get a housewarming gift. Now, you know, when a kid go borrow money, they bought a new house and a new car. They were stretched out pretty strong. They didn't ask me. They said they want to do this on their own. Go ahead. That's fine. Bought their first house. So me and Kathy, you know, we went over there. Some of you have heard me say this. I went over there and I, you know, and so I'm just kind of looking around. So, you know, Gloria said, I can buy them something for their house. You know, it's just exciting, you know, new home. And Jody said, Daddy, you like the house? I said, I love it, Jody. That's just several years ago. I said, this is a beautiful place, man. The Lord truly has blessed you. Yeah, we think so, Dad. It's just such a blessing. So we were talking that few minutes and she opens up this Architectural Digest magazine. She said, Dad, I want to show you something. And she said, you see this rug? It's one of them runners, one of those Persian rug runners. She said, we want to get a rug for the den here and a runner, you know, for the hallway right there. Now, man, immediately I went, man. So I just looked at Kathy. We didn't say a word, but we know each other. She went, I said, I got this, baby. And I went and got a good housewarming. She said, but these things are expensive, Dad. We can't afford that right now. I looked at her. I said, Jody, me and your mama want to buy all that. Why don't you just go ahead and order it? And whatever it takes, just let me know. Mama cut you a check or whatever. Oh, you know, however they want to do it. She goes, oh, no, Daddy, you can't do that, Daddy. I didn't show you that for you to buy that for me, Daddy. You can't do that. I said, okay. I didn't do it. A few minutes later, I got my car and went home. She didn't ask me for the rug. But see, the devil done told her that I thought she said that so I would buy it. She don't know what I think. Well, a couple of 2 or 3 months later, I didn't buy that rug. I stopped by her house. I was on the way to the airport and I stopped and said, hey, Jody, I said, are you ever going to put any curtains in this house? You know, people put sheets on the windows. You know, when you ain't got no money, you put sheets. How many of y'all have put sheets on the window? You know, then you do whatever you can, you know. This is years ago. Sheets, man, whatever it takes to cover the window. She said, well, Daddy, drapes and curtains cost a lot of money. Window treatments, I think that's what she called it. I said, really? Yeah. She said, Dad, I mean, that costs a lot of money. I said, Jody, why don't you just call Mr. Signorelli? He's a man in the drape business there in New Orleans. I said, just go pick your fabrics and all the different things that you want and just do every one of your windows and all that. And just send me and your mama the bill. We'll take care of that. I'm still trying to buy her a house gift. Oh, no, Daddy. You know how much one window costs? I can't let you do that, Daddy. I said, okay. I walked out the house, got in the car and flew out. Another 2 or 3 months passed. Watch this. Another 2 or 3 months passed. What do you need? She just can't believe that you could get all of it. Maybe a portion, but not all of it. Maybe if I'd have said, I'll just buy the runner and y'all on your own for the rest of the thing. Well, she called Kathy while I was flying in. She said, Mom, me and Daddy won't take you and Daddy out to dinner tonight. Tell Dad I'm buying. I said, no, the kids ain't buying. I'm the one. She's my child. I'm buying. I'll buy for them. And she said, no, tell Daddy he ain't buying. We are going to buy. We all can eat any way y'all want. We want to buy you and Mom a gift. And Kat said, well, your dad ain't got in yet. If he's not too tired, when he gets in, I'll call you. So sure enough, I got in. She said, Kathy said, Eddie and Jody want to take you out. Take us out now. You want to go? I said, yeah, that's fine. She's not too tired. I said, no, that's all right. She said, so she called Jody and Jody says, Dad, we're going to pick y'all up in our car. So you won't have to drive over. I said, okay. So we get in the car. Now, they had bought a new car at the same time they bought the house. So between the mortgage note and the car note, them kids are stretched. Watch this. So I had never sat in that car before. I seen it. It was a beautiful car. I think it was one of them Infinities or something. I don't know. Nice car. So I'm sitting in the back seat. I said, boy, Jody, Eddie, that's a nice car. You really like it, Dad? And they say, we're never going to buy another car. You know, when you get your first new car, you're never going to buy another one. That's a dumb statement, but you know how that is. You know, everybody, y'all excited. You know? I said, well, I'll tell you what, Joe, this is a nice car. And Eddie calls me Mr. Jesse. He said, you like it, Mr. Jesse? I said, I want to tell you something, Eddie. Y'all picked a nice, this is a nice car. I said, yeah, this is a nice car. Yeah, it is. So we just driving, you know, just driving along, you know, and going to a place where I like to eat and all that kind of stuff. We stop at a red light. I said, Joe, Ed, did y'all mortgage this car? Oh, yeah, Daddy, we financed the car. We ain't like you and Mama. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, I was just looking like that. I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, who owns the note on this car? And we were at the red light. She said, well, that bank right there, that's the bank that owns it. You know, oh, so you did it through the bank, yeah. Just sitting there. I said, Jody. I said, Eddie, when the light turned green, why don't you drive over to the bank and I'll pay off this car for you? Jody said, let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Just let the Lord lead. Hey, Daddy! Come on, Daddy! Let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Come on, Jesus. You see, they finally, after months and months, I'm trying to be a blessing, but they wouldn't let me. So in a matter of, I don't know, 5 minutes or less, they got the title to the cards paid off. Jody says, Dad, is that rug and curtain deal still out there? I said, Jody, Eddie, that money has been sitting in a bank all these months waiting for you to receive it. Your daddy shall supply. El Shaddai. El Shaddad.
Write this down. Not only does God meet your need, he supplies the whole extent of your need. Let me explain that. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Title of this simple message. Watch this. Not a portion. All of it. All of it. Watch this. He not only supplies your need, he supplies the whole extent of it. Let me explain that. Sometimes you think it costs this much money for your need, but you don't know the whole thing. I just purchased a phenomenal generator for our ministry. Because, you know, if you lose electricity, like, it don't make no difference now about hurricanes and stuff. So, and I'm up and running. I mean, the thing, look at the size of an 18-wheeler truck. That thing is huge. It's a 500 kW. I mean, that thing, I mean, it's amazing. Well, it's $350,000 for that generator to run our ministry. It takes a lot. You know, we have television studios. You got all that stuff. You're talking, this burns a lot of electricity. Well, you know, I'm a Jewish God. I said, let's negotiate. We'll do what we got to do. We'll make them an offer. I do business here. Well, I got that thing from $350,000 down to $218,000. I said, somebody gonna take this cash. Is it you? Cash is king. Oh, yeah. See, but what they didn't tell me, and I told Covenant Church, which is the local outreach of our ministry, I said, we're gonna get this generator. But they didn't tell me that the transfer switch, Greflo, was $50,000 more. Just the transfer switch. To switch it from the electricity over to the generator, you got to work that out with the energy companies. And then $17,000 to hook it up and put it in. So now that's $67,000 more than $218,000. But in my mind, I thought the whole ball of wax was done for $218,000. I said, well, the transfer switch, how much it cost? $50,000. The Lord said, I got it. See, not only did he meet the need, he met the whole extent of the need. You see, I did not know how much it was going to cost me. These things came up by surprise, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term. Maybe I should have researched it more, but I didn't put those two and two together to come up four. But you know, God took care of that. Why? Because he meets all. And not on the whole extent of your need. What do you need? So it's amazing to me how many people are in need when they don't need to be. When God's trying to be a blessing to people. And yet, my Lord, and I'll be dealing with that tomorrow when I preach, the traditions of men shut you down, makes you think you're greedy. When God is trying just to help you and bless you. So I look for opportunity. Now, when I say that, I get all kind of letters. Well, since you're looking for an opportunity, let me show you one. I didn't say I was looking your way. In other words, would you give me the honor of at least allow God to speak to me about it? You understand? Just, you know, promise. If God tells me to do something, I'll do something. That's not the issue. So what do you need? And yet Paul says, my God. Now, me and Jesus have a good time. I call him Jesus. He called me Jesse. We're good friends. I'll just tell you something else that happened real quickly. Then I'll go on to this next point. I love motorcycles. You know, I'm not what I call a great motorcycle rider. Dennis Burke is. He's a great motorcycle rider. Brother Copeland, Jerry Moore. But me, I like motorcycles. I've always, because I don't have hobbies. I work all the time. So Kathy said, you need something. She bought me these beautiful golf clubs, ping clubs, really expensive. So, man, I used them 3 days. I gave them away. They were sending me to hell. I ain't lying, son. I said, you ain't relaxing on this golf course. Ain't nobody speaking in tongues out here. People cussing up a storm out here, son. I go, no, I can't play this game. No. Now y'all can play it, but not Jesse. No. Man, and she even got me 6 lessons from a pro. I gave him the club. I gave him shoes, everything. I said, what size shoe you wear? Same size. I said, hey, brand new. Here, yours. I ain't going to hell over some golf club. Now, you might like them. I said, that ain't for me. Now, motorcycle, whole nother ball game. Now, I've had a lot of motorcycles. Lots of them. I've dropped a bunch of them. You've heard the stories. I've almost done things that just crazy. What it meant for John Copeland one time, me and Kathy went swimming at 12,000 feet in the lake. Remember that, Dennis? He said, I wanted to ride in the back so I could see and let them tell me what's going on in the front. That's what's good about riding these people. If you're on a road and they got a loose gravel, they'll say, I got some loose gravel, watch it. So if you're in the back there, well, yeah, you can look at the mountains more. and I forgot to turn. And John Coleman said, "Where Bud Jesse going?" Lord Jesus, when I look, bam, I hit the brakes. I mean, I come this close. I'm talking freezing cold water. But out of all of them, I had a funnel. That's all I'm going to say. Remember that, Gloria? I did have a funnel. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway. So I like motorcycles. So I have I like them so much that I built a building that's temperature controlled for them. Now you can say what you want. That's my motorcycle. And I'll get home this weekend and I got to leave again, but I'll just go in and say, "Daddy home." Now watch this. So I'm in there, boy, and I'm shining up these motorcycles. And I'm just looking at this thing. Nobody's in there now. You understand? They can't hear me. It's all air conditioned and sensory. It's heated and everything. It's got everything. So I mean, I'm shining up my motorcycle and get all this kind of stuff. And I say this out loud. Nobody hears me. And I'm rubbing down this 100-year anniversary Road King Classic. Just oh, Jesus. And it just speaks in tongues. I just turn it on. Then I turn on my Honda and it interprets. Because it's real quiet, you know, just it's listening for the interpretation. But boy, it's my motorcycle, it's my story, I tell it the way I want to tell it. Okay? So I say this out loud. I got it to myself now, because I talk to myself quite often. I've had some of the greatest conversations with myself. I like to talk to an intelligent person once in a while. It's kind of nice. You know, I don't argue with myself. Sometimes I suggest it. What did the word say? Oh, yeah. I got to go see what the word said. So I talk to myself. So make a long story short, I said this. I got to get me one of them Screaming Eagle Fat Boys. Just one of them Screaming Eagle Fat Boys. I mean, that bike will snap heads, boy. I mean, it's a bad looking motorcycle. That's all I said. Well, I took the motorcycle out and I picked Kathy and we drove around. We drove down the river and went to the plantation home, had a little breakfast and dinner, just enjoying ourselves, coming back real nice. Watch this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to make a long story short, you come to my ministry, and without sounding prideful or arrogant, it's not easy to talk to me. Not that I'm some big shot, just the way it is. You come in there, you're going to get hit with security. Who are you? What do you want? That. And then next thing, you'll go to reception. From receptions, you'll go to a secretary. From a secretary, you'll go to either a supervisor or assistant supervisor to a director. From a director to an executive director. From an executive director to an executive secretary. From an executive secretary to an administrator. From an administrator to me. I mean, I just kind of feel I'm in the mob, you know. They just watch over me, you know. You're like, I'm the boss. I'm the boss of the bosses. The copper to copper. You understand? That's the way it is. So a lot of people work for me. I don't even know their names. Okay? I never talk to my receptionist. Never. Not that she's a nice person. Just never do. Well, I'm sitting in my office and the receptionist button hits and she says, "Brother Jesse, would you please come to the foyer?" And that's never happened because normally they're going to go through that secretary. We really follow the chain of command. I said, "What happened to Mary? Where's Mary? Where's my executive secretary?" So make a long story short, I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." So I come walking to the front and it's a beautiful, it's all plantation antebellum with big white columns and all kinds, winding staircase and all that kind of stuff. So I come in, I come up on the balcony, I look down and said, "What do you want, sweetheart?" She said, "Would you mind going outside?" I look at her, she said, "Listen, my judge, I just told her to do this." I said, yeah. Now watch this. I walk outside and the owner of the Harley Davidson dealerships in New Orleans is standing there with a trailer full of motorcycles. He said, "Are you Jesse Duplantis?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Pick one." I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "Pick one." I thought he's joking. It was a Screaming Eagle Fat Boy. I said, "I take that one right there, that one. With the flames on it, that one right there." He said, "Back it off the trailer." He pulls out, he said, "I got titles for all of them." I said, "What? Wait. I don't even know who you are." He said, "You're Jesse Duplantis, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "A man walked into my office, into my dealership on Saturday morning at about 10 o'clock, I was in that building at 10 o'clock, and said, whatever this man wants, give it to him. Take him a selection of anything you got here. Whatever he picks, I'll pay for it." So I backed that thing off. Boy, I said, "You got to be kidding me." And the Lord said, "I heard you say it in the building." I said, "Lord, I don't need it." He said, "I'm not dealing with need, Jesse. I give you all things to richly enjoy." Things. So before you get mad at me, he said things. Maybe if you're not enjoying the things God's given you, you're in disobedience. What do you need? So number one, the emphasis is upon the word all in that verse, not a portion. This scripture not only applies God's ability, but his willingness to do it and his obligation to do it. And he only, not only supplies the whole need, he supplies the very extent of the need. Now you think that would be enough, huh? But that's not, you see, God's more beyond that. He will give you the desires. Now, Bud Jesse, don't get crazy with this thing. Well, that's what Jesus said. Turn with me to Psalms 37. Y'all enjoying this?
Yeah.
Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, delight thyself therefore in the Lord. Or delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the what?
Desire.
The what?
Desire.
The desires of thine heart. He didn't say his heart. He said your heart. He said, now notice this. The only way to get all you need, not a portion of it met, or to get your desires, notice that you have to say, my God. Very personal. Wow, God. But now you're going to another level beyond need. Now it's desires. But how do you get that? Notice this, that the correlation between my God and delight are one and the same. Delight thyself, therefore, in the Lord. What does that mean? Have you ever woke up your pastor? Have you ever come up to him and said, Pastor, could you open the church up a little earlier? Because that's so I can just pay my tithe. I just want to be a blessing to God's kingdom. Any of you pastors ever got that? Why? Are you delighting in God? Are you so delighting not only in God, but in his work? You delight. I enjoy. See, I look for opportunities. Oh, God, let me just, whoo, Lord, let me just be a blessing to you today. And he just does. I delight. He gives me the desires of my heart, not his heart. Well, if it be his will. No, no. You the one put that in there. Mark 11, 23. What does it say? If you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. Notice you gotta know what, you gotta tell your mountain where to go. You tell everybody else where to go. You gotta tell that problem where to go. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in your heart, not his heart, your heart, believe those things what you say, not he says, you shall have whatsoever you say. Then he says this, what things soever you desire, not God, you, when you pray, believe that you receive, you shall have it. Maybe you ladies would like to have a real Louis Vuitton purse.
Come on now.
A real one. Not one of them knockoffs. Not them kind that they sell you and then they go run around the corner so the cop don't arrest them. I'm talking about a real one. You ever seen that in New York before? They'll say, and here come a cop. Gotta go. Wham! Just running. Because it's a knockoff. I'm talking about a real Louis Vuitton. Or a real Chanel. Now, and you tell the price of that purse to your husband, you're going to have to raise him from the dead. He's going to pass out. A real one. Oh, but that's greed. Could be growth. Maybe you've got to a point in your life that now God can give you a desire that you don't think you can desire. That you not, oh, I could never have that. But no, he put that in your heart. Something real. And it's got to be a thing. Why do you think God gave you faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of what?
Faith.
The evidence of what?
Faith.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. You see, he don't mind you having things. Church world does. Secular world just have a flaming fit about that. He said, what thing you soever you desire. So when you possess God, write this down. When you possess God, you possess all things. Now, let's examine the scope of that promise. When you possess God, you possess all things. Do you know I have to watch what I say because I get it? I'm not bragging. I have to be careful what I say because I will get it. And you must be superior to that power instead of driven by it. You know why politicians and preachers will mess up? They're driven by the power that God has given them instead of being superior to it. I've had some people say, anything that comes in your hand should go to the ministry. The Bible does not say that. Now, I tell you what, almost all everything comes in my hand goes in the ministry. That's not the issue. My point is this, but there are times when the Lord said, I want to bless you. And I said, Lord, I don't need nothing. We ain't talking about need, Jesse. I give you all things to richly enjoy. You want example? There was a lady gave Jesus 1 year's salary. And a gift called an alabaster box. Go study it out. Any theologian would tell you that that perfume was worth 1 year's salary of the average working man. And the minute you start talking money, the next person going to talk is a Judas.
Amen.
The minute a preacher or any Christian gets a gift, the next voice you hear is Judas. Why was not this sold and given to the poor? Not that he cared for the poor. He wanted that to go to the Jesus, the Nazareth Evangelistic Association, so he could steal it. What did Jesus say? Shut up! This mine. That was a personal gift to Jesus himself. Shut up! She's prepared this for me. That's mine. Get out of my face. So some of you pastors are freaking out sometimes. You don't have to make no excuse for that. God want to bless you. Maybe he put that desire in you to be blessed. Or some of you Christian people, make no excuses. Like that lady told me not long ago about my house. I tell you, I think you ought to have that. I said, no, you love my house. You don't like your house. If you had my house, you'd be shouting. That's your problem. You don't like that trash you living in. That's why you criticizing me. That's not being arrogant, pompous. That's just simply the truth. I mean, you know, I'm not building it for nobody else other than myself. I ain't trying to prove nothing to nobody. Just want to live. Well, we don't think you ought to have it. I don't think I asked you. Now, I don't mean that to sound rude or hard, but excuse me. Have you ever thought that I grew enough for God to give me something like that? Have you ever thought that you grew enough, instead of being greed, it turned into growth, but I could bless you with a Louis Vuitton? And you don't buy a purse, you wear a purse. If you buy a purse, son, then you ain't done nothing. But you put that baby on your arm and you wear it. Wait, that's the black style. That's the walk, ain't it? Get a little lean going here. Glory to God. Yeah. Now, Kathy, she loves purses. I don't know how many she got. Jeez, we could open up a used purse factory. We got purses, brother. The other day she says, oh, I saw this purse. I just saw this purse. I said, what kind of purse is it? Oh, it's a black and white purse. I've really been wanting it. It's a Chanel. It's a Chanel, yeah. And I said, she said, boy, the thing's expensive. I said, well, if you want it, do you want me to have it? Yeah, that's what I live for. Sure, girl, go get your purse. Now, don't get mad at me if I buy another motorcycle. And she does it. Kathy's always looking for something. Because me, it's hard for me to get things. I got everything I really want. I have to think about what I want. You know, it has to come in front of my eyes. Oh yeah, you know, whatever. And it don't have to be expensive. It could be whatever I want, you know, just whatever. What do you need? What do you desire? So next time, have you ever thought that God put that desire in your heart? Cause you grew enough that he could do that. Without saying, I ain't worthy, Lord, I ain't worthy, Jesus, I ain't worthy. Yeah, you've been watching Wayne's World instead of God's World. You're in the Wayne's World again, baby. You got to get out of that. What do you need? What do you desire? If you think you're going to break God, why don't you go look at Phil Driscoll's film again, what he's got out there? That's just our solar system, ladies and gentlemen. Do you realize how big the universe is? No, you don't. It's amazing, son. And this is a God. And you think he's concerned that he's going to go flat broke paying your light bill? My Lord, what do you need? What do you desire? Write this down. It is in doing God's will that honor, usefulness, and destiny are accomplished. You see, I realized I began to get desires and I couldn't figure out. God was honoring me. It was usefulness was coming and destiny was my end. See, I learned years ago that God's direction for you may not always be his destiny for you. And that's where a lot of ministers and people mess up. See, you think God's got you going this way. You understand? All of a sudden, you almost get there, but every devil in hell is there to shut you down. And God does an extreme hard right or hard left, and you're over here. But I thought I was supposed to do this. No, his direction for you is not always his destiny for you. And you have to learn that, see? But when he'll do an extreme hard right, and you wind up being better off than you were when you thought you were going where you were supposed to go. If you let God handle your business, and see, you delight in him. Jesus, just delight in him. Now, me and the Lord have great conversations. We have great rides together. We enjoy each other. How many times I've asked God, what you doing? He said, watching you. There's been times I went in my study to pray, and God said, Jesse, get out of here. I said, what? He said, go rest your brain. Go do something. Ride your motorbike. Do what you want to do. Take half out the dinner. Go do something. Oh, okay. See, we know each other enough to talk to each other like that. Now, I respect God. Don't misunderstand me. But he's more than God to me. He's my father. And I really have to watch what I say. Now, I'm going to say something you ain't going to believe, but it's the truth. Do you know me and Kathy give God a Christmas gift on Christmas? And he want to know what it is, but he telling me he has to wait.
Now, I know some of y'all don't more believe that in the man in the moon, but that's a fact. I said, don't read my mind, God. You got to respect me on that. But what you going to do? That's going to have to wait. And sometimes he acts like I said, you've been talking to Kathy. Because see, Kathy wants to open it up on Christmas Eve. See, Kathy wants to open up one every day. She likes them tree gifts, stuff like that, you know. We call it tree gifts and then the big gifts. Tree gifts, you know. Thinking that Kathy's still like a child. She'll shake them. Sometimes she unwraps them while I'm gone, looks at it, and wraps them back. But she has such a desire. I placed it in her. So she starts guessing. She says, I bought you something. I said, well, great, I'll open it up Christmas Day. Wait, you don't want to open it up now? No, I don't want to open them now. Wait for Christmas. Well, why you don't want to open now? Because if I open it up now, you're going to have to open up everything else. Yes, I'll act surprise Christmas. No, you're going to wait. That's what we bought the tree for. The tree, when all the gifts open, he's out of a job. We take our trees and put them out in the swamps to catch the dirt from the Mississippi River so it can build. It's one of the cheapest things in the world you can do to build land. Just take it out there, when the water goes through, it collects the dirt and it keeps building what they call waterlands and things of that nature. You thousands of them, man, they're all over the place. So it's really a good thing. You know, it's called green, I guess you want to call it that, but it does work. See, God give you a desire. And you didn't know where it came from. And you thought it was greed. And people said, that's just greed. You shouldn't ought to be having that kind of stuff. When God said, he's old enough to take the persecution of the hundredfold. Give him a desire. Write this down. As you grow up in God, he will furnish your heart with new opportunities to desire. As you grow up in God, he will furnish your heart with new opportunities to desire. What do you need? What do you desire? So it doesn't really make any difference. Because see, all God wants to do is be a blessing. I heard Brother Copeland say that if God, it wouldn't have been for sin, God would have never had a serious thought. You remember Brother Copeland saying that? And the more I thought about that, meditating, I said, you know, that's really the truth. He created a garden so he could play with us. And you know, when I play with my granddaughter, as long as she don't do something wrong, it's wonderful. But even when she does something wrong, I just wink at it. I say, she learning. Oh, yeah. And boy, when she wants something, she'll let you know. She'll let you know real quick. And that's okay. I like that. So we mold those things and things like that. Now, Jody don't let me have her by myself because I'll give her candy and ice cream. She said, Dad, I want a healthy. I said, you ate candy and ice cream. You as healthy as an ox. What's the matter, man? What's wrong? Y'all trying to make this baby suffer? But then we want this. I said, well, can she ride with me? No, you won't put her in a chair. You won't put in, what do you call them things? Yeah. Yeah, I will. I didn't say how long she'll stay in that. I know we got to observe the laws of the land and all that kind of stuff. Because I just bless her. I'll take her to the shops with me. I'll walk with her, boy. And sometimes I get that. And you ought to see me. People have said that. I've done things I never thought in my life I'd ever do. I actually in a restaurant, rocking her to sleep. And a waiter said, what do you want? Shut up, man. The baby trying to sleep here. You want a good tip? Get out of here. Come back after a while. Man, I do all, don't like that? I do all that stuff. Well, she just wakes up and looks at me. She got black hair, blue eyes. Look like Elvis. Kathy said, no, she looked like Snow White. Okay, Snow White. Forgot about it. Just want to be a blessing. I said, Jody, I got back you. I got you back. I got you back. Man, this is amazing to me. Yeah, she said, Daddy, I never thought I could ever love something so much. I said, I've been telling you that for 17, 18 years, but you would not listen. I said, if you listen to me and Mama, this girl could be 15, 16 years old right now. She could be flying with me, but no, no. I see John Copeland. He's got Kelly, Courtney's what, 16, 17 years old? That's a wonderful thing. That would be great. I'd take her with me. We're going, can we go to France? Let's go. I can do that. I'm grandfather. I made an inheritance for Jody and for her.
That day that girl hit the ground, ooh, Jesus, is she blessed. They don't know what I done. Ain't none of their business. But I said, girl, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I said, Lord, let me live long and I'll teach this child business. I'll teach this child what to do, when to do, where to do it, and how to do it. When the devil hits people with recession, I'll show how to turn it around into a blessing, from a recession to a blessing. Lord, I'm going to put, if they let me do, I'll put this in her. My God, I'll even put it on video. If I go by the way of the grave, she can roll it back and say, Grandpa said this. That's good business. I'm going to teach how to do that. What do you need? What do you desire? Now, let's go to Psalms 34. Now, let's go to the God level. God not only meets some of your need, but all of it. And as you grow, he'll put desires in your heart. But you see, he's beyond need or desire. He's at the want level, which is the God level. I mean, he has gold streets. They're not plated gold. Because if you walked on, your feet turn green if they were plated gold. They're solid gold. Psalms 34 says, the young lions do suffer hunger and lack, verse 10. Psalms 34, verse 10. The young lions do suffer hunger and lack. But they that seek the Lord shall not what? Want any good what? My God. Now notice this. My God, relationship. Delight thyself, relationship. Seek my face. That's the interconnecting thing, ladies and gentlemen, to get need and desire and want, that you can pray like the psalmist David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He did not say I would not want. He said I will never get to the point of would not. I shall not want. And then I think it's in James chapter 1, says, let patience have its perfect work, that you're perfect and entire. What? Wanting nothing. Now you see, when you get on the want level, that's God's level. This is beyond mathematics to compute. When you're at the want level, this is an ocean with no bottom. This is an ocean with no shore. This is beyond your homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological mind. This is beyond E equals MC squared, beyond our solar system, going beyond all these 100 billion solar systems with 100 billion planet, moons, and stars. This is everything. One of my staff said, but Jesse, what's the difference between desires and wants? Are they one and the same? No, you see, I desire all motorcycles, but I only want certain ones. See the difference? You may like cars. You may desire any kind of car, but you only want certain ones. Now that I've been in the aviation all these years, I desire all planes. I like all planes. I saw one the other day, looked like a catfish. I don't know what kind of plane to think. I know it looked like a catfish. I said, that thing looked like a catfish. Weird looking thing, but it flies fast. But I want certain ones. Let me say it again. There's a royal abundance in the treasure of his divine grace. This is royal abundance. This is beyond mathematics to compute. Now we're on the God level, see. This is an ocean with no bottom. This is an ocean with no shore. This is you will never get it in your intellectual mind. Now you got to walk this out in your spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? He'll meet not only your need, not a portion, all of it. You'll get to a point where he'll meet all your desires, but then he'll say, come up hither. Come up where I am. What do you want? So I asked him that in prayer one time. What do you want? And he was very emphatic. I want the world. Go get it for me. I said, yes, sir. Now, how did that happen? How does that happen? My God, delight thyself and seek his face. Now, that's more than going to church on a Sunday. Amen. Church time is not throne time. Church time is school time. When you go to church, you're going to learn. When you go to the throne, you're going to listen and shut up. And that's when you and God by yourself, one-on-one, that's throne time. And you may talk about things other than your job or your ministry. You're getting to know each other. But church time is school time. Believers' conventions are school time. That's why you're taking notes. You take this and you take it to your homes, to your churches, or wherever you are watching on the internet. And you say, now I'm going to apply this. Because if you don't use application, what you come for? It's like going to a doctor and you don't do what he tells you to do. Why'd you go? You see what I'm saying? So what do you want? He said, they that seek the Lord should not want any good thing. So don't get mad at me if I have all my needs met, I have all my desires met, and I'm in the want level. And I'm at the point now, I don't even know what I want. Now, let me say this in close. I realize that as we grow in the Lord, that there are tools that must be brought to the body of Christ, whether they're in aviation, witty inventions, things that we need, the things that are going on today. We must be ahead of what I call the everyday technology. We have to be listening to the voice of God in all things. Because see, God told me one time, he said, it's more important to hear my voice outside the church than it is to hear it inside. I said, why is that? He said, the wealth of the sinner is not inside, it's outside. He said, so you must be just very, very, you must really be listening to me. And I've had some of the greatest opportunities to be blessed, but because I let my intellectual mind get involved in it, because I thought I could do good business. I had a good friend of mine, prime example is, I'm not a coffee drinker, but he wanted to go to Brooks, have some coffee. So I just went over there and, I think I had some hot chocolate or something. He said, Jesse, you got $1,000? I said, yeah. And I had $1,000 on me in my pocket. I said, yeah. He said, you know, why don't me and you go together on this land? It costs $3,000. He had another friend there. He said, all of us put up $1,000. I just feel like buying this land. Now, he's a lot older than me. You know, he was about 15, 17 years older than me. I said, man, that's some trashy land. That's just junk. That ain't nothing. He said, well, I just thought we could buy it. Just $3,000. You got $1,000? I said, yeah, I got it in my pocket. He said, well, give it to me. We'll go buy that land. He said, I just feel good about it. I said, you know anything about that land? He said, no, I don't know nothing about it. I just drove by. I thought, man, you know. Now, I'm the one that's the preacher that should hear the voice of God. God speaking to me, man. But stupid me, I'm thinking, hey, this is not a good investment. This is just junk. So I looked at his friend. I said, are you going to get in this? No, man. So we both looked and said, well, you're going to waste $1,000. He said, well, I'm just going to buy it myself. I said, well, go ahead. He buys it. Hey, 6 to 8 weeks later, the state of Louisiana decided to put a bridge through that land, an overpass. They paid him $3 million. Happy, I would have made a thousandfold on $1,000. Every time I see him, he goes, and the Lord said, I was speaking to you. Why didn't you speak louder? He said, as you grow older in me, my voice gets smaller. It's a still small voice. He said, when you're born again, I got to holler. When you first get born again, hey, you're like a baby. Come here, come here, come here, come here. You got to send a bunch of them. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Every time I see him, that's been years, he goes, I said, shut up. And I have to drive over that thing to go to Kathy's mother's house. I hate it. I just drive over and the Lord goes, nah, 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 nah. Boy, Jesse, listen. Do you know if I'd have done that, that was $100,000 in tithe that a church missed? And I make a million, I give another $100,000, that's my offering. I still got $800,000 I didn't have before. So that was $200,000 that could have went into the kingdom of God, but I would not listen. And I'd have $800,000. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Remember, God is Jewish. He's very smart. Me and Leroy Thompson, you know, we live about 45 miles from each other. So we get together as often as we can. A lot of times, I went over his house one time in my pajamas. Oh, yeah. I know Leroy real well. We're good friends. I said, Leroy, I'm coming over. I'm in my pajamas. I'm spending the night. He said, come on. We just enjoy ourselves, man. We just have a time. It's the wildest thing. We just get together, you know. He said, boy, Jesse, he said, you know any good business things? I said, well, yeah. I said, I'm looking, man. I'm constantly looking. I said, because the earth is ours. Leroy, it's ours. You don't want to send money coming to me now. I said, the word now is a word that connects time. He went, I'm going to preach that. I said, preach it. That's fine. The word now connects time. It connects it. It pulls it to you. Remember, you are a product of eternity, not a product of time, but you've been put into time. But your eternity is forever. It connects time. When do you want it? Now faith is. That's not greed. That's not arrogance. That's word. My Lord. See, God does not delight, and I close with this, in a sad, starved church, but in one that is joyful and well-fed. So I expect to be blessed even more. It's beyond mathematics to compute. It's an ocean with no bottom. It's an ocean. It's an ocean with no shore. I just expect it. I just expect. Now, I don't walk up to people, which I think is what I call, they're just religious cons. Are you the person that's supposed to bless me? I mean, you know, how many of y'all ever had something like that happen? You know what I'm talking about. No, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. I don't want to be a blessing, but I do expect to be blessed. And not only just financially, spiritually and physically. I finally have found out, I finally did what Kathy screamed at me for years to do. She said, you need to get yourself checked out. I'm 60 years old. I had a surprise birthday party. I had a wonderful, only birthday party I ever had in my life. And not that Kathy didn't want to give me one. I was always flying somewhere, preaching somewhere. So I said, don't worry about that. And we had birthday parties on some of the motorcycle. Not birthday party. My birthday was on some of the motorcycle track. But this time I had a beautiful birthday party. I mean, it was just such a blessing. So she says, Jesse, you need to go check yourself out. Well, I'm not a man that's been touched much by a man. So that bothers me. I don't care if he's a doctor, get your hands off me. They always want to look at parts I ain't never seen. They have this, this fetish. They want to look at your butt. I say, come here. God put that in the back. I ain't never seen it. Why should you want to look at it? You know, but it just kind of irritates me. You know, I don't like that stuff. I don't like that. I don't like that. So he says, have you ever had your prostate checked? My what? Your prostate. And then he started asking me very private questions. I said, let me just tell you something, Doc. Everything working, okay? Oh, no, but you got to have this. Have you had a PSA test? No, I don't even know what that is. He said, we're going to take some blood and see if your prostate. He said, I need to check your prostate. I said, where is it? Guess where it's at? Guess where it's at? It's in the back. It's in the back. He said, I want you to lean over. I said, how far? So I'm sitting there going, I lean over. And all of a sudden, man, I went, Moon River. I sang Moon River, happy wide in a mile. And the doctor just busts out laughing. I shouldn't tell you this, but I don't mind. You know what that crazy doctor said? Man, your prostate like a young man. Get your hand off of it. Just get your hand off of it. He said, you need to do this once a year. I said, your mama. I don't do this once a year. I'm not used to that. But I know you should. I mean, you know, you need to take care of yourself. Check my blood pressure. Check my heart. Went to a heart specialist. Put me on a treadmill. I said, I know how to do this. I do this all the time. Yeah. Well, then did it and all that kind of stuff. He said, man, I tell you what, man, you can burn this treadmill up. Yeah. I'm going to put a nuclear probe in your body. What? A nuclear probe. Yeah, but you want to see all your circulation around your heart and all that kind of stuff. I said, well, where are you going to put it at? He said, we're going to put it in your hand. I said, oh, that's fine. Just say it's put it in my hand. So they put this nuclear probe and I'm in this machine. I got to hold my arms up, boy. And he said, man, look at this. Man, it had no blockages or nothing. I said, well, that's great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then here comes this girl. She said, now, I'm going to do an electrocardiogram. And I got hair on my chest. Men don't like the hair tore off their bodies. You women are used to that. You just rip it off of your eyebrows, pluck it out. That hurts a man. That hurts a man. I said, you got a razor? We can shave some. Oh, no, it'll be all right. So we do that. Oh, everything's fine. Yeah! Jesus, wait, let me do that. Oh, don't be that wimp. I ain't a wimp woman. I wanted to grab her by her hair and just shake her. What's the matter with you? So now I got these bald spots on my chest. Rip my hair off. That ain't fun, buddy. Now, Kathy says you got to have a colonoscopy. I said, that's in the back, isn't it? She said, that's in the back. I got caught, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, I don't mind embarrassing myself. Lord Jesus. I put on these pair of jeans on with no underwear on. I just put them on. I said, come on, we're going to be I said, oh, wait, I got to put my jacket. She said, come on. I said, but I got to go on to the doctor. She said, you're just going to have a consultation. I said, all right. I go down there. He said, I want you to go in there and take your underwear off. I said, I don't have no underwear on. I got caught. He said, you a motorcycle rider? Yeah. Yeah. I was so embarrassed. I was mad at Kathy. I thought she said I was going to just talk to him. See, you always go to a doctor with underwear on. Yeah, I like underwear. And I was supposed to go on a motorcycle trip with Kenneth and Gloria and Dennis and Vicky and Happy and Jeannie. And they said, you got to do this colonoscopy. Oh, Jesus. So I go down there and the doctor says, now, this is not going to hurt. I said, ain't your body. How you know? He said, I'm going to give you something. You're going to be awake, but you may not remember it. And you may fall asleep. And he said, so I'm laying like this, you know, and he puts this video screen in front of me. So they start pumping the juice. You can tell when the juice coming. It remind me of the old days. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. I said, can we get some of this to bring home, man? He said, no. No, you can't do that. Now, I knew I was in trouble. He said, now, I want you to turn on your side. Oh, Jesus. I said, can y'all give me a little more drugs? I think I sang the hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah. 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 All of a sudden, I kind of come to myself. He said, well, that wasn't bad. I said, no, I guess it wasn't. That's all right. He said, now, I don't want to see you for 10 years. He said, your colon's beautiful. I said, you're really into this, aren't you? So, a colon, how can a colon be beautiful? I have no idea. I don't want to see you for 10 years. He said, now when you go to the bathroom, he tells Kathy, he said, you got to check all this stuff because he wants it to look a certain way. So Kathy asked me this today. Have you looked at your? I said, no, I don't look. I don't want to look. Crazy stuff. That's health care. So I told the Lord, what I need, what I desire, what I want, I don't want no more of this. And you said I can have my wants. I don't want no more of this. So they didn't find a thing wrong. I mean, they checked me for one end to the other, everything you could think of. And it's amazing. And they found spots I didn't even know existed. But I got to talk to Jesus. I talked to every doctor about Jesus. So what do you do for a living? I said, giving. That almost, what'd you say? I said, giving. Giving. What do you mean giving? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm a giver. I said, are you a giver? They don't know what to say, you know. I said, do you know you're placing your hands on a holy man? They go. I said, I'm serious. I said, you ever get sick? Yeah. I said, I can get you healed. Won't cost you nothing. One guy said, you trying to get a cut rate? I said, no, I don't need a cut rate. I said, I don't know how much money you make, but I know I make a lot more than you do. I don't mean that privately. I said, man, I got to pay you more. Got to pay you more than you can earn. So I got to minister to them, to each one of them, to every one of them, to the, what do they call that guy, the colon specialist, whatever you call him, ear, nose, and throat, heart specialist, all of them. It was a wonderful thing. And I said, Lord, thank you for giving me health, but I want it all the way to the end. If you tarry, I want it all the way to the end, or the rapture, either way. I want it all the way. He said, you can have it. It's yours if you want. It's up to you. He said, now take care of yourself. The Lord spoke. He said, take care of yourself. He said, when I tell you to sleep, sleep. I said, you don't want to wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, I know, but I can put 8 hours of sleep in 4. I said, well, do it. No. He said, I expect you to take responsibility. I like what Happy said, that the medical care is the responsibility of your doctor and health care is your responsibility. Is that right? Happy, I believe that's how you said that. So what do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Stand to your feet. Did you enjoy it tonight?
Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah.